Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Joe Liebezeit. Joe is the statewide conservation director with Bird Alliance of Oregon. And also with us is Sarah Swanson. She's the events manager also with Bird Alliance of Oregon. Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thanks for having us join.
Yeah. So it's a holiday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. Did you have a good holiday?
Sure did.
It was amazing. Thanks so much.
So, Joe, let's get started with you today and tell me about your background and kind of what brought you to Bird Alliance of Oregon.
Yeah, well, I grew up on the East Coast in New Jersey, and I've always been fascinated by birds and nature. Grew up in a little suburban town, but, you know, I was always turning rocks over in my backyard and looking for critters and, you know, getting my first bird field guide when I was a little kid. And that, you know, brought me to a career in biology and natural resources, and got my undergrad at University of New Hampshire, and ended up heading out to the West Coast in the 1990s, and initially worked for the Wildlife Conservation Society, which is like the research arm of the Bronx Zoo, of all places. Was doing work in the Arctic, looking at how oil development and climate change are impacting nesting birds up there. I did that for 12 years. And then I saw the job open up at the time Portland Audubon, now Bird Alliance of Oregon. And I've been here since 2013 in various roles. My current role is a statewide conservation director. So my career has been mostly with nonprofit environmental NGOs.
Great. The Pacific Northwest is probably a pretty good spot for bird watching, right? Or any kind of nature, I mean, really.
Yeah, what drew me out to the West is that, you know, back east, there's definitely a lot less public land and fewer, there's still amazing wildlife out there, don't get me wrong, but there are fewer places for job opportunities to kind of work in your natural lands arena.
Great. Sarah, let me ask you, tell me about your background and what brought you to Bird Alliance. You've been with the organization for a while.
Yeah, in some different ways. Like Joe, I was drawn to birds as a kid, took a class about bird watching when I was in fourth grade and got a field guide and just became enraptured with it. I did not get good at bird watching for a long time because the internet didn't exist and I didn't know any birders, but I also studied biology. I studied at the University of Oregon and at University of Oklahoma, studied ornithology, and just kind of ended up in the nonprofit world in a lot of different ways related to that, both environmental education and now fundraising. And I've been involved with Bird Alliance of Oregon. I used to go birding there as a kid, and I volunteered at the care center, our wildlife rehabilitation hospital, in high school. I worked in the education department and now the events manager. So it's a mission that means a lot to me, and I've been happy to be engaged a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, so cool. So I have an app on my phone that it kind of, you can put it up and it listens to birds and it can identify birds.
Yeah,
isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Do you guys use those all the time?
I sure do. Honestly, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Merlin's a great tool. We do kind of warn birders sometimes to not rely on it too much because, you know, it's not 100% accurate. So I know that like this past spring, I was birding in on Mount Tabor, and there's two birds that have very similar calls, Oregon Junco and the Chipping Sparrow. And some people were, the Merlin was misidentifying some of those Juncos as Chipping Sparrow. So you just have to be careful, but it's an amazing tool. You know, especially birds that you're trying to learn. And, you know, I recommend people like try to find the bird first, see it singing and try to identify it and then, you know, use the app as a backup. But yeah, it's a great tool.
Yeah. It's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Joe, tell me about your role as the statewide conservation director at Bird Alliance of Oregon.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bird Alliance of Oregon has been around for, since 1902. So we've been around over 120 years. We're probably the oldest conservation nonprofit in Oregon. And our original president, William Finley, back in the early 1900s, helped establish a number of really important bird migratory stopover areas and also just really amazing places in our state for nature and for wildlife. You know, they did expeditions back at that time to what is now Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Southeast Oregon, down to Klamath Basin, where we have a number of refuges down there now. And they went out to the coast and actually took a rowboat across to Three Arch Rock. And, you know, you wouldn't want to do that nowadays. but they camped out on the island for a few days. And through their subsequent lobbying to, at the time, the Teddy Roosevelt administration, they were able to get those areas protected. And so it's a huge legacy for us to do statewide conservation work in Oregon because of, you know, going all the way back over 100 years ago to our first president. And so the work I do is I think of it into three buckets geographically. We do a bunch of conservation work on the coast and then in our forests, our state, private and federal forests, and then in Eastern Oregon. And I can break it down even further if you'd like. I can talk about, you know, what we do on the coast, for example.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Yeah. Because we have so many different terrains, I guess, in the state of Oregon.
Yeah. Well, it's not just me alone. We have a small number of staff members that work in different parts of the state, you know, because it's really important for us to be on the ground in these places. And so, you know, I think our organization is really unique in that we do science on the ground. We do, you know, we involve the public in doing community science or citizen science to help gain important information in some of these landscapes. So, for example, on the coast, we have a staff person that is working with volunteers and with the Oregon State Parks to monitor an endangered species, the western snowy plover, which, you know, loves to nest on beaches, but it's also a place that people love to recreate. So a lot of our work is, you know, monitoring the birds, see how it's doing, and then also educating the public to minimize their disturbance of these birds. So that's an example on the coast where, you know, one species we work with. We also work on, you know, larger policy issues to try to protect places. So for example, on our coast, we have marine reserves, and marine reserves are basically like underwater nature parks. We have five of them off the coast of Oregon, and we were one of the organizations amongst a number of different NGOs over 10, 15 years ago that worked to get these marine reserves established. And we continue to work on them to make sure that there's the resources that the agencies need to implement those sites and make sure that wildlife and those habitats are healthy. So that's an example of what some of the work we do on the coast. I'm happy to move over to the forest if you want. Or
yeah, let's keep moving east.
Sure. So, you know, if you can think of, there's three types of forests in terms of their jurisdiction. We have our federal forests, like national forests. We have our state forests. You know, a good example, right outside, just west of Portland, are the Tillamook and Clatsop forests, which we travel through when we go to the coast from Portland. And then we have our private forests, which are, you know, all the different lands that are just privately owned by different timber companies and so forth. So we've worked at all those different levels to try to do our best to protect these habitats as best as we can. And, you know, our real goal across these landscapes is to ensure that we have, you know, connected landscape. You know, connectivity of habitat is really important so that birds and other animals can, you know, go back and forth and utilize areas that they need to do their breeding and foraging and all that. It's also important for us to protect our remaining kind of mature and old growth forests, which are dwindling. And but there are still, you know, remaining tracts of, you know, really old trees and forests that we need to protect. And they're not only important for wildlife and habitats, but also for people. You know, we depend on clean drinking water. We need to make sure that we have healthy watersheds so that not only wildlife can benefit, but people too, in our communities, and have a strong economy as well. So we do a lot of work, you know, working through at the federal level, working with the Forest Service to try to, you know, advocate for the strongest protections we can in those habitats. And it's tricky right now because we have a federal government right now that's not the most friendly towards that, but we're doing what we can. And at the state level, you know, we work with the Oregon Department of Forestry, the Board of Forestry to advocate for strong protections in our state forests as well, and so forth.
It's amazing when we kind of lose sight, maybe living in an urban environment where nature is, it's all connected, you know, it has to stay connected, and it is connected. And you guys are doing the work to make sure that stays.
Yeah. And we have an amazing urban program as well, urban conservation. And our conservation department is split into co-directors. So I'm the statewide co-director. And then Micah Meskel is our urban conservation director. And, you know, we have a long legacy of helping protect green spaces in Portland and protecting habitats in the city as well, for both people and wildlife. But that's for another time. Micah can come on some other time and talk to you about our urban work. But, you know, I'll finish up by just going to Eastern Oregon a bit and just saying how we have a staff person out there, and we soon will have another staff person that are really focused at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge area and Klamath, which are, you know, if you think of our Pacific Flyway, which is basically that kind of highway from Alaska down to South America that birds use to go from their wintering grounds to their summering grounds, and then back again in the fall from their summering grounds to their winter grounds. And they have really important places they have to stop over. Sometimes they stop and stay there for the winter. Sometimes they stop there and refuel. And Klamath Basin wildlife areas and refuges and Malheur are like two of the like most important on the whole flyway of the western hemisphere, really. Wow. for birds. And so we have a lot of investment in those areas. We're doing monitoring birds and using that information to help inform management of the refuges, and also areas off of the refuges where we work with partnerships. So, for example, you know, Malheur National Wildlife Refuge is in Harney County, and we work with a larger coalition of groups that includes the Fish and Wildlife Service for the refuge, but also, you know, ranchers and the community there and other agencies and landowners to kind of think holistically about how we can protect habitats across the whole county, you know, to benefit birds, but also benefit the community. And, you know, a really good example of that is that there's a thing called a flood irrigation where, you know, you divert water from rivers and you flood like wet meadows. And it's really important for a bird habitat in the spring, but it's also important for ranching, for, you know, providing good grassland for the ranchers out there. So that's one example of a way that we've been able to work kind of in a win-win situation to help protect birds, and then through flood irrigation is also, you know, support the community and the economy.
Yeah, truly statewide. That's amazing. That's great.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You're listening to Let's Talk Portland, and we're talking today with the Bird Alliance of Oregon. Joe Liebezeit is the statewide conservation director, and also with us is Sarah Swanson, the events manager. Sarah, there's a huge event coming up just in a week or so. Tell me about the Wild Arts Festival.
Yeah, the Wild Arts Festival is celebrating its 45th year this year, and it's one of the Bird Alliance of Oregon's biggest annual fundraisers. To tie into Joe's work in conservation, this is an event that celebrates nature through art and books and celebrates that connection and the way that folks can connect with nature, both by being out in it, but also through art and field guides and poetry. And so we have this amazing event that has top tier local and regional artists, 66 of them, wow, and a wide diversity of artistic media, including painting, drawing, fiber arts, ceramics, jewelry, metalwork, woodwork, photography. And all of those artists will be there at the festival on Saturday and Sunday, December 6th and 7th. And then we also have 24 local authors over spread over those 2 days that will be signing their books, all related to the Pacific Northwest, everything from field guides to kids' books, history, art, poetry, hiking. And we've also got a silent auction that features art from a lot of those artists and many other wonderful food and travel and outdoor gear things. And then we've got a raffle for some really nice high-end binoculars, and all the proceeds benefit Bird Alliance of Oregon and our conservation education programs.
That's awesome. What a fun event. And you said this is like the 45th year?
Yes. Wow. It's taken a lot of different forms over the years, and we've been in some different venues, but I'm really loving our current venue. This is our second year out in Hillsboro at the aptly named Wingspan Event Center. That's part of the Washington County Fairgrounds. We're right on the Max line there.
Oh, perfect.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. And I'm guessing it's not a coincidence that it's this Wild Arts Festival is happening during the holiday season.
Yeah, it is really a perfect opportunity to get unique, wonderful gifts for everybody on your list while also supporting local artists and authors and a great nonprofit.
So you're an author yourself, right?
I am.
You've written how many books? 3 books?
I've written 3 books about birds. The most recent 2 are local field guides, one for the Oregon coast and one for the Cascade Range and Columbia Gorge.
What are some of your favorite birds to watch?
Oh, gosh. I'm just kind of excited to be outside and look at whatever's there. But there's a few that I get excited for every year. For example, the sandhill cranes are back out at Savi Island, where they spend the winter out in the fields there. I'm always really excited to see and hear sandhill cranes. When I go to the coast, I get really excited to see harlequin ducks, these tough little ducks that spend the winter just kind of bobbing and foraging in the crashing waves along the coast there. And then in the spring, they pack up and breed on rushing mountain streams.
Wow. That's quite an array of birds. I love that. So you told me a little bit earlier in this interview that you have worked with the Wildlife Care Center that you guys have, which is a wildlife rehabilitation center. Tell me about that.
Oh, gosh. Well, this was a long time ago when I was in high school, which let's say it's been a while. but yeah, we have a wonderful wildlife care center that does, it treats thousands and thousands of birds and other wildlife every year. We are the place to bring injured wildlife in Portland. And we have a staff of veterinarians and wildlife rehabbers, as well as a huge dedicated group of volunteers that make it all happen, because there is a lot of unglamorous work that has to be done in wildlife rehabilitation to get to the exciting shot where you get to, you know, release the eagle in front of the crowd. But I'm really proud that the fundraising work that I do helps to support the work of the Wildlife Care Center.
Oh, for sure. And the Bird Alliance of Oregon, you guys have just moved to a new property. Is that right?
Not yet.
Oh, not
we've
yet.
We've purchased a property on Northeast 82nd, and it is a former brownfield that we are working on restoring and eventually building a new wildlife care center there. But that's still in the planning stage, and we're having meetings with the community, listening sessions and all of that to make sure that we are going to be a great addition to that community. We're excited about that.
That's awesome. Hey, Joe, let me ask you something that's been in the news lately is the swifts that usually come through in the fall, and they roost at Chapman School. They've kind of they're not coming back.
Yeah, well, so the Vox's swifts, which are a small bird that is migratory, you know, they winter all the way down and as far down as northern Central America, and they breed up here in the Pacific Northwest. They historically have roosted in the Chapman chimney for many years, decades, in large numbers. Last year, for the first time, they decided to not roost there anymore, kind of midway through the season. And it got everybody all concerned and excited and, you know, curious about what's going on. And we're not 100% sure of why they moved, but what we do know is that swifts do often abandon chimneys. It's not an unusual occurrence. They'll, for some reason, sometimes shift to using other chimneys. And that's kind of what we're seeing in Portland. But we don't know the individual birds because they're not like color banded or anything. But we do know, just based on the timing, we're seeing like when they left Chapman, they started using other chimneys in the area, not all in the same chimney, but kind of using two or three other chimneys in smaller numbers. But it just seemed like the birds are shifting to using these other chimneys, and we don't really understand exactly why. There've been a number of theories put out there. Could it be increasing predators? Like sometimes, you know, you'll see a Cooper's hawk on top of the Chapman chimney and it'll take out a swift on the nights that they're there. But we didn't really see any correlation between the predator activity and the swifts at Chapman. There's, you know, other thoughts of maybe, you know, its weather patterns are changing but we don't really have a lot of really good evidence on like why we saw the shift, but we do know that they have shifted, and we're working with the community to enjoy the swift phenomena at these other sites.
Great. So they're still coming through. They're just maybe not landing at Chapman.
Yeah. They're just using other chimneys around town for sure. Yeah. But they're gone this time of year. That phenomena happens in the fall, like in September, because they're finishing breeding. They're getting, and as they get ready to migrate south, they form these big groups, and that's when they use the chimneys. So they're gone now. They're back. They're down in Central America, right now, but they'll be back next year.
Yeah. I'm always amazed. There's another app that we've talked about that can tell you how many birds are migrating over Portland on any given night. And that's pretty phenomenal in the fall to see how many birds are flying over.
Yeah. I think you're talking about maybe the Birdcast app, I think it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
It's
millions of songbirds flying over.
Yeah. That's just phenomenal to see all that. And it's really fun this time of year to be seeing like geese in their formation flying all over the sky too. That's really fun. Tell me about some of the things you're focusing on as far as conservation advocacy in the upcoming legislative session. That's a big question.
Yeah. Well, our primary goal this session is to pass a bill that's called 1% for Wildlife. And what that bill is it would increase the transient lodging tax by 1% at our so when folks go to a hotel, their fee might increase slightly, you know, a couple dollars. But that money that would be generated, it would be about $30 million a year that would allow us to implement what's called the State Wildlife Action Plan, which is a plan that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife put together and just updated recently that lays out the species in Oregon that are the most at risk. So it includes, you know, endangered species, but also other species that are not listed as endangered, but we're really concerned about. And there's over 300 species on that list. And that not just birds, it's like birds, mammals, reptiles, amphibians, invertebrates, and plants as well. And so that plan is kind of a visionary plan, but there's really no money to implement it. And so we need to direct money to the appropriate agency, in this case, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, to, you know, be able to kind of have these species recover. And it also protects habitats as well, really important habitats. So we're going to be really pushing for that bill to get through. We tried last session and it came really, really close. It got through the House and made its way to the Senate and almost got through the Senate, but didn't get to the Senate floor, unfortunately. But we're going to try again this session. And we're really asking people to help us because we need people in the community to advocate for this in order for all the legislators to vote for it.
Yeah. You guys just do amazing work. That's so fantastic. Sarah, we have about 30 seconds. Can you give me all the details I need to know about the Wild Arts Festival in 30 seconds?
Absolutely. To start with, everything you need to know is at wildartsfestival.org. Folks can buy tickets there online or at the door. Same price, but buy your tickets ahead to save yourself the line. And it is December 6th and 7th from 10 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. Free parking for attendees.
Nice. And it's a great time to do some holiday shopping, right?
Absolutely. And if you can't attend, you can still bid on silent auction items from anywhere using our website.
Oh, fantastic. This has been a great conversation, guys. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Gary.
We've been talking today with Joe Liebezeit, Statewide Conservation Director with Bird Alliance of Oregon, and also Sarah Swanson, Events Manager with Bird Alliance. Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.